Well, I want to get right into the lesson this morning. If you'll go to Ephesians chapter 5 with me. I know this is a combined adult Sunday school, and I know that not everybody is married, but I want to preach on that subject or teach on that subject this morning. And you can take notes if you're planning on getting married someday, or if you hope never to get married, maybe it'll give you some reasons why. Amen. You heard about the old couple in their 60s, and they're sitting on the, or they've been married about 60 years, sitting on the back porch, and she said, "My, how I love you." They were sitting there, they were trying to enjoy the sun going down. They weren't Baptists, so they were drinking a little bit of wine. She said, "I sure love you. I can't imagine life without you." He said, "Honey, are you talking to me?" She said, "No, I was talking to the wine." So you don't want that kind of marriage. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. They two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Let's pray. Our Lord, we need you this morning, and I sure would like to be a blessing. Lord, there's folks that I've become familiar with here, and Lord, I've had the joy of being in this pulpit before. I'm grateful, Lord. I feel a heavy responsibility, and I confess that I'm not what people need, Lord. And God, we need you to meet with us. And Lord, as I approach this so important topic in this hour, it seems like the devil is wreaking havoc in our homes, Lord. And I pray you'd help me. As I yield to thee, would you, Holy Ghost of God, fill and endue me? And help me, Lord, to present truth in a way that would be helpful and effective. And I pray that it might bear eternal fruit in some people's lives and their marriages and their homes. Well, thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the book of Ephesians is recorded for us to remind us of our position as Christians and the responsibilities we have because of our position as Christians. It's interesting, if you go over there to chapter 6, you know, in all these chapters leading up, the Lord talks about how that we as believers have a holy position, and then he talks about the church and gifts that are given to the church, responsibilities of serving. Then he talks about the home, as we read here in Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 6, it right goes right into spiritual warfare. And it says there in verse 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So it's interesting that those things all just kind of fall into place. Because I want you to understand, sometimes we don't think of this matter of our homes as being a place of spiritual warfare. But the Lord amazingly puts this all one back to back. He talks to us about husbands loving their wives and wives being submissive to their husbands and children being submissive and honoring their parents. And then he goes right into talking about spiritual warfare. And can I tell you something? The devil knows if he can destroy your marriage and your home relationship that he will have a great foothold, that your children will struggle through life, and the church will struggle because a strong church has strong homes. And the devil is on the warpath. Every single morning of my life, in my prayer list, that I have 9 preachers that I pray for whose wives left them. 9 different preachers that I personally know. I'm just telling you, the devil is on the warpath. And we often forget the overall picture of spiritual warfare. Folks, when you got saved, now if you're dumb enough to listen to televangelists, don't make it sound like when you get saved, everything's just going to be wonderful in life. But I'm going to tell you, there's battles to fight. The old devil's not happy that you're a Christian this morning. And he wants to do everything to keep your testimony from being effectively used. And one of the great things he does is he attacks our homes, and he attacks our homes most often through the marriage. He'll fight our marriages. My dad used to oftentimes joke, my dad being a preacher, dad used to oftentimes joke about the wedding song is "The Fight Is On, O Christian Soldier." But you know, really, that's no joke. That's the truth. I'm telling you, in a home that's trying to be established to make a mark for Christ in this world, the fight is on. The old devil will do all that he can to destroy our marriages. You know, the crazy thing is, the Bible tells us here in Ephesians 6 that in this battle, we don't battle with flesh and blood. You know, the warfare is not between you and your spouse. That's not where the battle is. The battle is with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. It's a spiritual warfare. Hey, folks, when you marry, you become a unit together to fight in this spiritual warfare. You don't try to kill your own soldier. The battle is not with your spouse. If your spouse may be at times, then maybe the devil will get a foothold and begin to use your spouse. But your spouse is not the enemy. Satan is the enemy. We need to understand that. You see, we want to defeat the enemy, but rescue each other. Amen? Now, there's 3 doors that are absolutely essential for our defense against Satan's attack in our marriages. The Scripture gives us very simple and practical 3 doors that we must walk through to have defense against Satan's attack in our marriages. And there's 1 key that opens all 3 doors. And we see it here in this passage that we looked at. First of all, let's look there in Ephesians 5 and verse 21. And it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, I want you to notice that, because that's the first door that we must walk through to have biblical defense against Satan's attack in our marriages. We must walk through the door of submission. Now, let me tell you, it says we're to submit one to another. Before it gives the wives instruction to submit to their husbands, it said we're to submit one to another. Sometimes we kind of skip over that, amen, men? We just like to kind of get right to that one about wives being submissive. But we're supposed to submit one to another. You know what that word submission means? It means to place yourself under. It means that we give ourselves to one another. It means that, hey, honey, I want whatever's going to make you happy, as long as it's biblically okay. I want to make you happy. Well, honey, I want to make you happy. You know, you can work through most problems if both of you are looking out for one another. And that's what it's talking about, submitting one to another in the fear of God. Why does it say in the fear of God? Because we're in a spiritual war. No devil's shooting everything he can at us. And we've got in the fear of God pull together and say, listen, we can't let things get messing up our marriage, because we've got to have a testimony to our kids, and we need a testimony out there at the church. And in the fear of God, we submit one to another. It's preferring one another. Our biggest battle with submission is pride. You know, that old verse in Proverbs says, only by pride cometh contention. Can I ask you this morning, is there contention in your marriage relationship? Only by pride cometh contention. And pride is the biggest obstacle to submission. Selfishness. Wanting our way. Been in the ministry 33 years full time now. Can I tell you something? In all the years of counseling with people in their marriages, if we can get past the obstacle of selfishness, we can resolve conflicts. Every time. You know, we would rather win the argument than resolve a problem. And that's where submission. We've got to walk through that door of submission. Look over there at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I'll just touch briefly on this and I'll be careful. But I just want to mention it briefly because the Bible speaks to it. Over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And that's a good thing. If you're not married, you ought to keep your hands off one another. You know, it still is biblically sinful for folks to live together outside of marriage. Regardless of what popular culture has accepted, God's not pleased with that. Let's go on. In verse 2 it says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, God underlined that, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. The husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. It's talking about the physical relationship in marriage. I just mention that because oftentimes spouses like to use that as leverage. And if you're submitted one to another and you follow biblical principle, you have no right to use that as leverage. I just wanted to make note of that and we'll move on. A great obstacle to this door of submission is the matter of selfishness and pride. You see, the very same problem you have in giving yourself to your spouse is the same problem you have in giving yourself to the will of God. Self. It's all about me. It's what I want. It's what makes me comfortable. About yielding up self. And the illustration the Lord used there in Ephesians chapter 5. Let me get back there. In verse 24, the illustration the Lord uses, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That's what the Scripture says. We're not talking about you doing something that's unscriptural. We're not talking about you doing something. Understand, always our submission first is to God Almighty. But as Christian couple, and it says, wives, be submissive to your own husbands in everything. As Christ is submissive to His Father, or as the church is submissive to Christ, can I ask you this morning, Faith Baptist Church, could revival come if this church is as submissive to Christ as you ladies are to your husbands? Could revival come? The first step is this door of submission. And I want to tell you something. As an evangelist that travels around and preaches in a lot of different churches, one of the things that breaks my heart is all over this country, we've got so many Christian women who don't want to follow their biblical responsibility in this matter of submission. And it hinders the spirit of your church. And I'm going to tell you, it's the least popular thing in the world to preach on. But I'm leaving tomorrow, so I'm real brave. And my wife's not feeling well enough to be here this morning, so I'm really brave. But I'm telling you, in the society we live in today, for a woman to really take her biblical role and place, you're an oddball. But so be it. I would rather have the Lord's blessing and please the Lord than have everybody in the country pat me on the back. And that's what the Bible says. For us to, listen to me, in the fear of the Lord, because the devil is trying to destroy us.
understanding in the fear of God, in the spiritual warfare. Ladies, we've got to have a revival. Getting back into our biblical roles that God designed for us. First door we have to go through is the door of submission. Look at the next door. Chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So the Bible here tells us the next door is the door of love. Notice it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Look over there in verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. You look at my body, you can tell I've loved it a lot. Amen. And we're to love our wives as our own bodies. Look over down there at verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. Now, do you see that? In these few verses here, three times the Lord tells men to love their wives. Why is that? Because us men don't listen real well. Got to tell us three times in a few verses. All the ladies were wanting to say, amen. Men don't listen so well. So he repeats it three different times here. Now, can I understand? Can I help you with something, men, to understand the reason the Lord put this as the priority for a man and his wife is because a woman's greatest need is to feel loved. You see, when your wife does not feel loved, it's like you're stepping on her oxygen tube and she's suffocating. Well, you know, I told her I loved her when we got married. You're a great romantic, I can tell that. I'm talking about her feeling like she's most important, feeling loved. And that's what the Lord said. Now understand, if we're to love like Christ loves the church, men, that means unconditional love. Because can I clue you in? Fellas, the Lord doesn't love you and me because we're so wonderful. He didn't wait until we did everything just right before he decided to love us. He chose to love us unconditional. And that's what it says we're to love our wives, even when they go through moods. We're to love our wives as Christ loves the church. I mean, we're to have unconditional love. I mean, even when it gets to the point of going through menopause. Lord, help us. We're to love our wives. I tell you what, Brother Angel, I'm sick of guys bailing on their wives when they get to be about 50, 60 years old. It's unbelievable what's going on in this world. Well, you know, she don't look like she used to. Have you looked in the mirror lately? And what's that have to do with loving somebody? We're so stinking wrapped up in ourselves, we can't get to biblical love because we can't get past that first one of being submissive. That means we've got to get out of ourselves. Loving your spouse is about, hey, how can I help her? How can I help him? How can I meet that need? Or love like Christ loves the church. It's essential. We're in a spiritual warfare. Hey, listen, I'm also on the bandwagon. We need to be a knowledgeable and ready to vote like God wants us to vote in this election. We're in a mess in this country. But I'm going to tell you, more important than that, we're in a mess spiritually. If we'd get a bunch of Christians revived and right with God, maybe He'd hear our prayers and have mercy. And the devil is attacking our homes. We've got to walk through that door of submission. We've got to walk through that door of love. This is her greatest need. Go with me over to 1 Peter chapter 3. And here it kind of breaks down a little bit for us how we're to love our wives. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 7. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Hey, do you have children? If you got children, you better have a prayer life. Now, I'm serious about that. You know how many kids have every opportunity in the world and still mess up? We got to have moms and dads that know how to get a hold of God. The Bible says, "You men, we better get this verse down so that our prayers aren't hindered." Notice what it says as a husband, our responsibility. It really defines how we show that love to our wives. Notice, first of all, it uses that word dwell. Likewise, your husbands, dwell with them. You say, what's the big deal, preacher, about that word dwell? Well, you know, you can abide with somebody overnight, but if you dwell with somebody, that's long-term. You see, dwelling with somebody is a long-term residence. And can I tell you something? Men, your wife needs to know that you love her and you are committed for life. Working through whatever problem comes, we'll get a hold of God, we'll work through it together. I'm committed to you. There's nobody else ever on my mind. You're the only one for me. This is long term, baby. We're in this till the end, till we see Jesus. Be a good thing every once in a while just to roll over in bed and say, I want you to know, honey, it's still till death do us part. Long term, dwell with them. They need that security and knowing that you're committed forever. Then it says, with them. You know, that means you share your life with them. It's not your life and your business and your day and then her day and her life. You share things together. Men, we struggle with communication. You know, we can get home after spending the whole day at work and jump in the chair and kick our feet back and say three words before we go to bed, and we're happy. Meanwhile, she's got 180-mile words coming out like a tornado. And we just, yep. We don't listen to nothing or share anything. And it says to dwell with them, share life, closeness, dreams, pray together, or read the Word of God together, be open with one another. Men, you ought to make sure your wife never has to have a question about your integrity or your intentions about anything. You're open together. Call on the phone during the day. Share life together. It says dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, I'm going to say this. If you can say you understand women, write a book and be a millionaire. The goal is not to understand everything about women or why they do what they do. If you're a male and you got all that figured out, go to the doctor. I'm concerned about you. But you can learn to understand and you can gain the knowledge about what helps her. And what is times of difficulty for her, and how to encourage her. You learn those things, how to help your wife. You dwell with them according to knowledge. It says, as unto the weaker vessel. You know what that word vessel means? It means a very valuable, fragile figurine. Giving honor unto the weaker vessel doesn't mean that she's less important or less smart or less capable. It means that she is built by God to be more fragile. Her emotions are more fragile. I'm worried. I know there's some men that don't fit that category, but for the most part, God designed them that way. And, you know, we're to protect. And as a man who loves his wife, fellas, you're to learn about how much she can handle and how much she can't. Can I tell you, one of the mistakes I made early in my marriage is I didn't understand my wife's breaking points. And my wife has struggled with illness for about 20 years now. And it's just something we've learned to deal with. She's not facing death's door. But her stamina is just barely above zero. She just can't take much anymore. But you know, when I was young, man, I was gung-ho for the Lord, and I wanted to do something great for God, you know. And, man, I didn't care if, you know, we pitched a tent in the park and slept there for a month. It didn't bother me. And one, because I'm so spiritual, I'm just made different. But see, she can't handle those things. And I had to learn to sometimes step up and say no for her because she wants to help everybody in the world. And I had to learn about her breaking points. And I'm convinced today that much of the illness she's had to struggle with, because early on I didn't understand that. It wasn't that I didn't care. I was just dumb that way. And I've had to learn. But you know, when you love somebody, you beg God for wisdom and you learn. And you learn because you love them. And you want to help, and you don't want to advocate responsibility. Fellas, it's your responsibility to help protect that fragile vessel. That's why I like men who understand the need of violence occasionally. Amen. Not with your wife, but to protect your wife. The door of love. We're going to have a defense, and the Bible promises we can have a defense against Satan's attack in our marriages. But you have to walk through the door of submission, the door of love. Then notice this third one. Put your seatbelts on. Ephesians chapter 5. And look at verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And notice this last statement. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. You see that, ladies? You ought to underline that. The wife, see that she reverence her husband. I don't hear a lot of preaching about that, but it's always been there right there in the Bible. And let me say this, ladies. Just as a man must give you that love, it's the most important thing to you, that you feel suffocated if you don't feel that love. You feel like somebody's stepping on the oxygen tube. Can I tell you something? A man's greatest need is to be respected. You ask any man if he'd rather the guys at work respect him or love him. No, give me respect. I don't need everybody every day walking up and telling me how good-looking I am. I already know that. I looked in the mirror this morning. I said, dear God, help me with this humility thing because I'm looking awful good. I don't need anybody come up and tell me those. I don't need a bunch of compliments. But you know what I want? I do want folks to show me respect. And I mostly want it from the one that I chose to spend my life with. And it says right there, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Can I tell you, your husband feels like he's suffocating when you don't show him respect. And we live in a society today that promotes young girls, teenage girls, be sassy. Not telling me. I put you down as quick as anybody. And we have that in our marriages all over. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies. Here's what happens. When you get mad, and you want to remind him of every place in life that he's failed for the last 25 years? Well, you know, you never have taken care of this, and you never have shown me this, and you don't love me, and you don't do this, and you don't do that. And boy, you just start railing. You know what he does? Because he wants respect, he starts pushing away. And when he pushes away, you don't feel loved. And when you don't feel loved, you feel like you're suffocating and makes you more mad, and so you start railing more. And the more he feels disrespected, the further he gets away. Amen, Brother Booth. And it's just a vicious circle. And I'll tell you something, ladies. You start showing that man ultimate respect. Do you know there's only one other in the whole Bible that I can find that it says word of reverence? And that's God Almighty. Ladies, you start showing that kind of respect to your husband, I'm going to guarantee you, you know what? He wants to get home early from work. He wants to take you someplace. He wants to spend more time. Say, well, it's just because of his big ego. No, it's because that's the way God designed a man. respect. I'll show you something interesting. Let me read you this definition I got out of Webster's. It says to regard, for reverence, it says to regard with fear, mingled with respect and affection. Isn't that interesting? In the fear of the Lord. To regard with fear, mingled with respect and affection. This is His greatest need. And can I say this? As much as a man's to love unconditionally, ladies ought to respect unconditionally too. Well, he doesn't deserve my respect. I know he's a sinner. Hadn't been a man that walked this earth that wasn't a sinner. Go over to Esther chapter 1. And I'll hurry and get this closed up. Esther. Genesis, Exodus, Esther. Chapter 1. And you know a little bit about the story of Esther. You know, she was in the kingdom there, but this Vashti was the queen, and the king was having a big party, and he sent for the queen Vashti to come, and she refused. I ain't coming. I'm having my own party. You got your party, I'm having my party. That's what she did. Look down there. Notice what the men said in response to that. Verse 16. And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes, to all the people that are in the provinces of King Ahasuerus. Verse 17. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes. You know, the same meaning of despise is disrespect. What the men feared is that their wives would all begin to disrespect them. Because the greatest need that a husband has is to be respected by his wife. It's the greatest need. Look over real quick with me, Titus chapter 2. Verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Notice this. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Isn't that amazing? Why would a woman need to be taught how to love? I mean, we think if anybody's loving, it's not the man. A lady is more naturally loving. But you see, we have a misunderstanding of what love is. Love is not just ooey-gooey compassion. And you see, aged women who've lived long enough teach their wives that your husband just doesn't need just ooey-gooey compassion. He needs respect. You've got to learn how to love him. It's not the same way you think, ladies. And the children, guess what? God in His sovereign design for a home. You know, if it was just, and here's our problem today, we got a bunch of boys being raised by women. Because daddies bailed out because they didn't have enough courage and manhood to handle their responsibilities. And they left it in the women's hands, and they're raising boys. But what ladies don't understand about what boys need. I mean, if it was up to most ladies, oh, I don't want to have to spank him again. I'm sure he didn't really mean it. And Dad's saying, kill him. Don't listen to that sucker. He's conned before. I know what he's up to. I did the same thing when I was young. So they have to be taught how to love their husbands and love their children. God put that together. Let me tell you something. My boy, three boys amateur boxed. My wife went one time to a boxing match. And when she saw the blood, I mean, she said to me, listen, honey, I know you say it's good for him, but don't ever ask me to go again. I mean, she'd have never put him in that kind of stuff. And I wouldn't expect her to. That's why God put us together. We're different. We balance that thing out. Men need a different kind of love. Real quick now, I'll wrap it up again. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife, of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation. Now notice this, coupled with fear. The fear of the Lord, needing God's blessing. Look down there in verse 3. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. The respect, the reverence. I was in a revival meeting where the pastor said, Brother Booth, we've got some calls to make. I'd like you to go with me. I said, sure, I'd love to do that. We went out. First door we knocked on. Door opened up. Man answered the door. Tears came to his eyes. Threw his arms around the pastor. He said, Pastor, I know we haven't been there for a long time. He said, Pastor, you know my situation. If it were up to me, you'd always be my pastor. We went and got in the car. I looked at him and I said, the wife? He said, yeah. We went to the next house. Door opened up. Big old burly man standing there said, hi, preacher. Man, it's sure good to see you. Tears welled up in his eyes. He said, Pastor, you know I love you. I didn't want to leave. We got back in the car. I said, preacher, the wife? Third door. Four visits in a row. Same thing. Husband knew where God wanted him. Wanted to be where God wanted him. Wife said, I ain't taking that preaching like that. He ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm telling you, the devil's having a heyday. There's three doors for us to walk through. The door of submission, the door of love, the door of reverence. And there's one key, and it prefaces all that we read there in Ephesians 5. It's found in verse 18. That we be filled with the Spirit. It's all about spirit fullness. It's about being unselfish. About dying to self. Let the Spirit of God fill you. Men can't love like Christ loves without the Spirit of God. Women can't submit and can't reverence without the Spirit of God's help. My wife was saved under a wonderful pastor. A well-known evangelist in the country said he was probably the most underrated pastor of his time. She loved him dearly. I loved him. Tremendous fella. But he had a wife that was, I don't know if she was bipolar. I don't know what all her issues were. Nobody even knew for years what he went through at home. But finally she got her way. He got out of the ministry. They divorced. That was many years ago. My wife was saved when she was 16. A year and a half ago, she said, you know, I'd like to call Pastor Insulin and just tell him I love him and appreciate the day he preached the gospel to me. She called Florida. She got his number. He said, Janelle, it's good to hear from you. She said, preacher, I just thinking about you. I wanted to let you know how much I love you and appreciate that you preached that day I got saved. He said, well, that's fine, Janelle, but you know, I don't believe it that way anymore. She talked and quickly hung up and just sat down and wept. You see, you don't understand the impact and the hurt in marriages that come when the devil gets his way. My mama went to be with Jesus this a year ago, December 17th, all of my life, whenever I'd talk to my mom on the phone, she'd always say, boy, honey, your dad is such an incredible husband. Now, I know my dad wasn't perfect, but I never one time ever in my ears heard her demean my dad, ever. I never had that memory. And when I was sitting by her bedside when she was going to be with the Lord, and I said, "Mom, what have you been thinking about?" She said, "God's been so good to me. I just can't quit thinking about how good He's been to me in my lifetime." She said, "My children, I got to be a pastor's wife." And she said, "Son, your daddy is the most wonderful man a woman could have ever been married to." Do you know what that did for this boy growing up? You know what that did for me? Don't your children deserve that? I thought, "Dear Lord, I wish every kid could grow up feeling like Mom and Dad are madly in love with each other." The devil's having a heyday. Three simple doors to go through: submission, love, reverence. But you got to do it being Spirit-filled or it won't work. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time we've had in the Sunday school hour. Pray, Lord, that these thoughts would be helpful and that, Lord, we would apply them. And bless now and the services to come. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.